There is an old Chinese proverb that says that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. And the second best time is now. Given the pace of modern life, it can feel like weeks or months are relatively long times to wait for something. I know my life feels like it is absolutely flying by at blistering pace, but it consists of units of day, of hours or days, and sometimes weeks, occasionally. I typically don't think of my life in units of years, and certainly not in units of decades, though I will pass or mark a decade birthday in July. Trees, though, remind us of the longer arc of God's goodness and providence. Some of the greatest things in the world and in life take a very long time to reach their fulfillment. After all, many species of trees are just really getting around to their fullness around the time that most of us are reaching the very end of our life expectancy. I've always been a great lover of trees, but as I get older, I realize that they are about far more than just beauty in forests. They're about even far more than ecological importance. Trees are some of God's greatest teachers of patience. As you may know, I just returned from a pilgrimage along with 17 others to South Africa. And my experiences there have me thinking quite a lot about the art and virtue of patience. And it began with a tree. One day, our group visited a high school in a fairly remote part of eastern South Africa. Not all that far from Happy Homes Preschool, the school that we have partnered with for almost two decades. We stood on the grounds of that high school in a sort of dusty middle central area surrounded by the classroom buildings. It was sort of like a dusty quad. And we listened to our friend, by that point, our friend and guide, a man named Lotus, tell us about the story of the school, its growth and its development over the last 20 years. And as we prepared to leave, Lotus casually pointed out a tree over on the other side of the quad, large and flourishing, beneath which were gathered several dozen students in their smart uniforms, enjoying the shade at noontime on a bright sunny day, chatting and giggling, having just a few minutes of peace as it was exam time. And Lotus mentioned that he had actually been the one to plant that tree 20 years before, when he had actually been in high school himself. It was just a little sapling, he told us then, one actually that he found somewhere else entirely while doing a cleanup project as a student. Ever since then, it had received care and water, nurturing, and it was very much now the glory of that school's campus and the anchor in the middle of its heart. The tree, it turned out, in a very real sense, mirrored the life of the school. In those very same 20 years, the school had grown bit by bit through the care and dedication of teachers and parents, students and administrators, to become a magnet for kids from all around the surrounding environs. Parents literally bypassed several schools in order to send their kids to this particular school, Lotus told us. All of those administrators and teachers and students and parents were patient enough to nurture the life of the school just like they had nurtured the life of that tree. And as a result, the now thriving school was very much like a tree, a proverbial tree planted 20 years before. Healthy, flowering, life-giving. South Africa is a country that has needed to develop quite a lot of patience. They waited for decades, centuries even, for the tide to finally turn on apartheid and white nationalism. And even now, they are still waiting for the full reality of a just and fair society to come about. Our group got to visit Nelson Mandela's cells at both Robben Island and Polsmoor Prison, where he spent the majority of his 27 years as a political prisoner. In his autobiography, A Long Walk to Freedom, Mandela writes about the way that he came to understand his time in prison as a time in which he could grow and deepen. He never gave up on the belief that he would one day walk free, but he had to be patient in order to resist the temptation to become cynical and bitter and angry, and instead use that time in order to grow as a human being. By the time of his release, Nelson Mandela was very much like the proverbial tree planted 20 years before, deeply rooted, stable, and strong. Being patient in those times that were unfair and difficult and even physically painful is how he grew into the man that we all now, the world over, revere. The Apostle Paul knew all about this. Just listen again to what he writes to the church in Corinth nearly 1900 years before Nelson Mandela entered prison. Paul writes, "As servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God." Paul says that the virtues are not merely what good or godly people are supposed to do in order to be nice. Paul identifies the virtues as weapons of righteousness. I love that. And he says that we should brandish these weapons of righteousness, even in the most demanding of circumstances, as the tools of our victory. They are precisely how lives are transformed. They are how change is enacted. They are how the world is bent more and more toward the kingdom of God. We can trust that these things come from God, and therefore they are the proper way for us to respond to any circumstances we may face in our lives. And among Paul's list of virtues, firmly planted, you might say, right in the middle of them, is patience. When you look back over the whole course of history, the virtue of patience is at the heart of the lives of some of the holiest and most significant, remarkable, and influential people ever to have lived, Nelson Mandela included. Patient people are the ones who have led societal change. Patient people are the ones who have made the scientific breakthroughs. Patient people are the ones who have achieved goals that everyone else in the world deemed impossible. Patient people are the ones who model for us the wisdom of the trees, that you cannot expect a seedling to become fully grown overnight, and that we will only really enjoy the beauty and shade and fruit of a tree if we are patient enough to wait. Actually, a friend and mentor of mine once suggested that all churches should plant an apple tree in their front lawn whenever they install a new rector. And to expect that church to really only begin to thrive under the new leader around the time that that apple tree bears fruit worthy of eating, which is usually 5, 6, or 7 years later. The tree would be an awfully helpful symbol, not only to the congregation who is eagerly hoping for the fulfillment of and realization of all of its hopes and dreams, but also to that priest who probably has similar desires for the church's quick success. You cannot expect a tree to bear fruit while it is still establishing. But if you play the long game, if you can learn to wait, If you can hang in there while the tree spreads its roots and slowly expands its boughs, the result can be something that surpasses even what you can imagine. That was exactly what we found at Happy Homes. Happy Homes is that little preschool in Justicia, in the far east of South Africa, that we have been partnering with as a church for nearly 2 decades, along with Parish Episcopal School, nearly since its inception. Happy Homes began in a tiny metal shed beneath a small tree with about a dozen kids. And over the years, we have helped that little 10-shed school grow into what is now 4 classrooms, a small administrative building, a playground, a kitchen, and a state-of-the-art toilet facility. I have to tell you about that sometime. Oh, and also a glorious shade tree. The school is aptly named. They didn't just slap a really nice, happy title on the school in order to sort of create a positive atmosphere like marketing or something. The name is descriptive. The kids are happy. The teachers are happy. The parents are happy. It is a truly happy home. It is a flourishing tree, nearly 20 years old, and growing stronger and deeper every single day. It's funny, as we drove around that region, we saw plenty of other sponsored schools. You know, schools with sponsoring organizations or agencies or companies or even churches with large names printed on the sign out front. You know what I'm talking about? But they didn't have a fraction of the life or vitality that Happy Homes does, nor the joy, and certainly not the infrastructure. It seemed that far more energy had gone into the signage out front in those schools than the operation of the school itself. They lacked depth. A depth that comes from slow and patient tending and care and relationship. You see, to be honest, it is really not all that hard to plant a school in Africa. It's not. About as hard as planting a tree, you could say. What's hard is caring for it after you plant it, while it grows and matures, until it's finally healthy and strong and independent. What's hard is standing patiently with people through all the years after your quick initial burst of interest and enthusiasm and funding finally wanes, after all the new has worn off. I am proud of Happy Homes, my friends, and you should be too. There are big, complicated problems facing our world today. From desperate families at our nation's border seeking asylum, to ecological degradation, to lingering racial injustice, the list goes on. And we have challenges in our own lives too. It's not just a matter of what we read in the newspaper. If we're willing to admit it, we have problems to face in our own homes, families, relationships, our own lives. But too often we forget that an urgent problem is not necessarily one we are going to solve this week. Most of what we are up against right now are 20-year challenges. And as Christians, as God's beloved, we must pray for the sort of holy patience that it will take to actually see any of them resolved. We can surely trust in the one who calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, that he has that same power to calm all of the frightening storms and remake all of the broken places in our world. But you see, he is no purveyor of parlor tricks. And his healing and power most often moves at the pace of a grand old oak tree. Now here I must confess something. I am no wise master on this one. I am not sharing wisdom with you young grasshoppers. I am every bit the one who needs to learn this lesson. The one who wants there to be an app or a GoFundMe or a march that we could just all do to resolve all these challenging things in the world, in our lives, in our city. Which is why I need to hear again Paul's reminder, God's call to patience, every bit as much as anyone else. I must stay committed to the long game. We must all stay committed to the long game, to the slow spreading of roots, to the vision of healing and beauty that God promises will not happen in a day or a week or even this year. Because the best time to plant a tree might be 20 years ago, but the second best time is now. So let's keep planting those proverbial trees, my friends, and my God, let's certainly keep patiently tending them. Even, you see, even if it's someone else who will sit beneath its shade. And all of God's people said,
Amen.